Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by my fellow friar, Father Jerome Zeiler. Let's begin with a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to speak about a lay Dominican, that is, a lay person who embraced the Dominican spirituality. And this particular lay Dominican is named Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Father Jerome at St. Patrick's in Columbus helps with our young adult group, which is called the Frassati Fellowship. So maybe, Father Jerome, you could start by speaking a little bit about Pier Giorgio and how he's the inspiration for the young adult ministry.
Yeah, no, thanks. Blessed Pier Giorgio was just a normal guy. He was born in 1901 in Turin, Italy. He was born of an influential family. I think his father was a senator and an Italian ambassador to Germany. But it was upper middle class family. And he was just a normal child and young adult. He wasn't a religious or anything. He never became a religious. He died at the age of 24. So he was born in 1901. He died in 1925. But he was very devout from a young age. And he spent a lot of time in prayer. And, you know, other than that, he did a lot of normal stuff. He decided to be a miner, and he told his friend, I want to be a miner to help bring Christ to the miners, you know? So he was studying for that, but he started his own young adult group. And he was a very active, vibrant young adult who really took joy in life. He loved mountain climbing. He loved art. He loved going to museums. He loved the opera. He went to a lot of operas. He loved music and things like this. He had a lot of friends. He'd go out, enjoy a nice beer with friends. He even smoked a pipe on occasion. But he loved things like, he loved the outdoors. He loved mountain climbing, things like this. But he also really delved into his faith. He loved the Mass. He got permission to go to daily Mass, which was rare in that time, but he got special permission to go to daily Mass. He spent a lot of time in adoration at night. He loved to do that. Spending many hours before the Holy Eucharist, praying the rosary, your traditional things. His favorite thing to read were actually the letters of St. Paul. And he loved St. Catherine of Siena. He read a lot of St. Catherine of Siena. That was influential in his becoming a lay Dominican. But from early on, he just tried to deepen his faith and actually join groups where he could help. Just join groups where he could help others and, groups that would help himself grow in his faith. So the Apostleship of Prayer and the Sodality of Mary, nowadays known as the Legion of Mary, which I joined when I was in college. Then, other things, what is now Catholic Action, which is a wonderful group. He joined basically Catholic Action, when he was in his early 20s, and the lay Dominicans, inspired by Catherine of Siena and some good Dominican preachers that he knew, he became a lay Dominican. And now a lot of young adult groups throughout, he started a young adult group where they studied scripture and they just helped one another grow in their faith, inspired one another, and grew in holy friendship. And nowadays, for Saudi groups all throughout the country are named for Saudi groups after him, mm-hmm. Based on his inspiration. He died at the age of 24, so he died as a young adult, but he was clearly a saint by then. There's more to his story, but it was clear that he was a blessed and I'm sure soon to be a saint.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know here in Columbus, the Frassati Fellowship has, you know, Christ in the City, for example, which mm-hmm. involves, you know, prayer and adoration in the Blessed Sacrament. So I'm sure Pier Giorgio would feel right at home there.
Yeah.
I know Pier Giorgio also did a lot of outreach to the poor.
Yeah.
In his own time, he was a young adult after the end of World War I, which, of course, devastated Europe and especially Italy. And it left a lot of families without fathers and husbands. And it exacerbated poverty. And he had that right in his own city. So Pier Giorgio was very generous with his allowance. He would visit people, never made a big deal about it, didn't want other people to know about it, but he would help them in very concrete ways, very personal ways. He would visit them in person, buy a pair of shoes for a child, buy some medicine for an older person. And I know that our Frassati Fellowship also tries to do outreach things, right? What are some things that they do today?
Yeah, no. Well, in the Frassati Society, we try to have three different aspects. So we're trying to build a Catholic culture. So mm-hmm. We try to, you know, first and most importantly, meet people's spiritual needs. So mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is social, because we try to meet their human needs. Young adults, some of them, their vocation is marriage,
mm-hmm. right.
most of them. So, and a lot, you know, find their future spouses in the Frassati group, which happens often. That's actually why I need to keep getting more core team members. A lot of them marry one another, which is great. But other than that, also just Catholic friends who are going to support you in your faith. I mean, and a place to develop a Catholic culture where, you know, you can have fun too and meet your human needs and meet friends, you know, maybe your future spouse, maybe, you know, of the opposite sex, or maybe friends, you know, of the same sex that you can, that can really support you in your faith. And I see that happen all the time. And it's really beautiful. So we have the spiritual aspect, we have the social aspect, and then we also have the service aspect.
Hmm.
Right now, we're growing. We hope to have more and more service aspects, but things we've done in the past, there's, you know, Rachel Muha is a wonderful mother who lost one of her sons in a horrible tragedy. But that inspired her by God's grace to really reach out to the poor, especially poor children in our city. And she does many things for them. So we have helped out with them as a service project. There is the Moen Healthcare Center, where there's many retired priests and religious. Our service coordinator helped that we, visited them, sang Christmas carols for them, made cards for them, things like mm-hmm. that. And there's one thing I'd really like to do that I'd like to make a continual Frassati event in the very near future. It's actually one of our parishioners who has a bus that he takes around town. He owns a bus and it has a little kitchen within it, and he makes breakfast for the homeless. Hmm. And then he loves to have volunteers to help him. And they go to a certain place and they just, they have breakfast with the homeless and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of conversions take place through that. He's not you know, pushing it at all, but just in a very natural way, you know, Jesus does come up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? and things like that. So I hope that that will be a regular Frasati event in the near future. So mm-hmm. I'm about to propose that, actually.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, I know one of the most touching stories about Pier Giorgio, I mean, he himself contracted poliomyelitis probably while he was visiting some of the poor in Turin, in his home city.
Yeah.
And sadly, he died of it after a brief but very painful illness. But one of the last things he did was he scrawled a note to one of his friends to make sure to bring some medication to a very poor man named Converso.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure that he had his medication, even as Pier Giorgio himself was dying.
Just in the hour of his death.
Hour of his death, he's trying to help another poor man, you know, find health and life again. So he's such a wonderful, he was an inspiration to me, you know, when I was in college. And when I went to World Youth Day in 1994, he was one of the official patrons with John Paul II, you know, in Denver. I think he's been the patron for many World Youth Days. But just reading about his life, it just strikes me that he's real, he's relatable, but he's also very holy.
Yeah.
My last assignment was as a campus minister, and I'd always challenge the young people in college who are about to graduate, the Catholic students, especially those who had leadership positions. I told them, if our campus ministry really is to be successful in its mission, you won't just look back at the golden years where you had in this campus ministry. You will go to a parish and likely as not, there won't be a young adult ministry there. There may not even be many young adults at all. You know, and you might be tempted to say, well, there's no place here for me. You know, I don't have anything to do here. I can't relate to anyone here. You know, instead, I tell them, I challenge you to make something happen. You know, talk to the pastor. Say, Father, I notice I don't see a whole lot of young adults. Would you mind if I put a note in the bulletin about having a cookout for a Catholic young adults, or started a book club, a book study club about a Catholic book? Most pastors would say, thank you, Jesus. You know,
yeah,
I'd love you to do that. And you were saying, Father Jerome, earlier, Pier Giorgio did that. He was, he took initiative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he joined all these groups, like, again, the Apostleship of Prayer, the Sodality of Mary, the St. Vincent de Paul group, the Lay Dominicans. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would join groups. I mean, he saw that as really important, like, and a way to develop Catholic culture. He was also very involved in politics. Mm-hmm. He, as his father was a senator, he joined the People's Party based on the principles laid out in Rerum Novarum, which we'll discuss in the next show. Because I was inspired. that was important to him. So he joined that party and was very involved in, like, even, you know, in demonstrations, political demonstrations, but based on, you know, the very true and good principles of Catholic social teaching. But there was no young adult group. So he started one. And so they did scripture studies. They, you know, did things like go hiking together. The whole Frasati society now that we have at St. Patrick's, and I mean, we're imitating others. It's all throughout the world. There's a gigantic one in New York City. I've been in Charlottesville and Baltimore and Cincinnati, and at every one of those places, there was a Frasati group.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know, I mean, I'm a Dominican. He was a lay Dominican, but even non-Dominicans take him up as like a wonderful model for young adults. And, Yeah, he just started that himself.
You're listening to The Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by my fellow friar, Father Jerome Zeiler. We've been discussing Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati and his connection to young adults and young adult ministry. We've been talking about how Pier Giorgio really wanted to change his culture. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to just follow his own vocation, which he thought was, to become a mining engineer to make life better for the miners. Mm-hmm. He didn't want just to help his friends. He really wanted to contribute to a Catholic culture. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty significant. And that's something that is it's always been an issue, and it continues to be an issue today. Mm-hmm. That we have a culture that really needs a little bit of healing and needs some elements that are very different than the very secular, consumerist, self-centered movements that we find all around us. One great quote that I love from Pier Giorgio came kind of from his mountain climbing days. He loved the outdoors. He loved climbing mountains. We actually have photographs of him on the side of a mountain, climbing with ropes. And he always took people with him. And he always, when he could, dragged a priest along. I'm not sure exactly how he did that. I would love to do that. I'm not
Fine
sure every
by me.
Priest.
We can do that. And for Saudi, we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure every priest would be excited about going to climb a mountain, especially the Alps, which is where he was near, but he would drag a priest along, or at least pray the rosary. But on a card, towards the end of his life, he wrote to one of his friends, he wrote verso l'alto. Verso means towards. L'alto is Italian for the height, toward the heights. And that was really his, you could say that was his whole motto of life. He always wanted to go upward, toward the heights, but not just as an individual, not just to bring himself to paradise. He wanted to influence his culture, mm-hmm. bring his culture towards the heights of heaven, to lift up the level mm-hmm. of whether it was political discourse and dialogue or whether it was, the life of the university that he attended or whether it was just his own community of friends. Mm-hmm. Father, what are some ways in which you saw that Blessed Pier Giorgio, really changed his culture or tried to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he did have, it's amazing. I mean, he did have the desire. He was just full of desires, holy desires. And just always, you have to imagine that he was always thinking of how he could bring others to Christ, to bring himself mm-hmm. to Christ and others to Christ. You look at all the societies he joined. I mean, he's always joining stuff. He reminds me of like a high school student that signs up for like all the extracurricular things. But no, he did that. I mean, motivated by grace and joined all these things. But I mean, it wasn't just, some people might like always be thinking of politics, for instance, and they're always thinking of that. And that's it. Not him. Like he thought of politics and how he could help. Change the culture. Even Pope John Paul II said he personally witnessed that, like the witness of Pier Giorgio speaking about the principles of Catholic social teaching and how riveting it was and how powerful his message was. And Pope John Paul II heard that when he was a young man and was, profoundly impacted by it. So he did that, but it was also not just that, like big picture stuff. It was little individuals. Like, for example, when he would ride the bus, he'd have a first class ticket because, he was upper middle class and he always had a first class ticket, on the train or the bus or whatever. But he would always, on the train, I think he would always, find some person who was homeless who was in greater need of him than him and give that to them. He would always do that. And then he would run home, you know, because they couldn't run home. But just little things like that. I mean, just any way he could show the love of Christ to someone else, you know. And that way you reminded me of Mother Teresa, who, you know, said, I just try to show the love of Christ to others. You know, I'm not ever trying to convert anyone necessarily. Well, she just said that. I don't try to convert others. I try to show them the love of Christ, which at first I was scandalized to hear. But then I realized, no, that's true. Like, conversion is in God's realm. The change of politics, change of culture, that's all up to God. We should do what we can. But also the little things to just show the love of Christ in whatever way he could. That's what Pierre Giorgio did.
Yeah, I think one of the most beautiful scenes of his life, if you know anything about him, you know this, that at his death, which was, you know, he died of poliomyelitis. He was only 24 years of age. He at his funeral, his, you know, he came from a well-to-do family, and his parents expected that they would have some guests, some, you know, relations and family come, but they were flabbergasted when at his funeral, the church was crowded with people. There wasn't enough seats in the church. And so people were crowded outside, of the church. And these are people they didn't recognize and didn't know. And it turns out they were the people that he had been helping, you know, every day with his allowance, hundreds of people.
Homeless people.
Or just not even home either. Maybe they had a home, but they were just very poor. But the people that he'd been helping, and his family was just completely taken aback, because he really, although he shared his faith very freely with other people, he was very quiet about what he did for the poor. He didn't want to kind of blow a trumpet in front of him, especially to his family. In fact, I remember hearing a story once that his father was offered to buy him a car, which would have been a very unusual and special gift at that time.
He died in 1924. So yes,
right. Wasn't exactly a family tradition, but he wanted the money instead, you know, and the reason he wanted his money, he didn't tell his father why. The reason he wanted the money was because he wanted to give that to the people in his city that really needed it. So at his funeral, his parents and family were just flabbergasted, all these people who crowded around him, you know, who followed the funeral procession, and were there because, he did those little things. You know, he did act on a bigger level, but he also acted on a very, very personal level to many people. And it was that began to help them to see, especially his, I believe his sister, you know, who really kind of promoted him, for many, many years after that. As a blessed, realized this, something great has happened here. Something that she thought he was just an ordinary guy, a nice brother. But she realized that there was more to him than that. And it came from those simple acts of charity.
Yeah. So we have all been inspired by him. Every Frasati young adult group comes from the inspiration of him all throughout the world. But here at St. Patrick's, we have one. We have a spiritual event every Thursday. So a scripture study the first Thursday, theology on tap. Sometimes over 100 people go to that. Theology on tap. And then on the second Thursday, on the third Thursday, we have Mass and a meal. I celebrate Mass and we have a meal. And then that people contribute to. The fourth Thursday, we have Christ in the City, which is Eucharistic Adoration and Confessions, and a wonderful choir that sings beautiful Taizé music, and someone plays a harp, which is very beautiful. And so those are just some of our events. We have lots of social events. I mean, it's too many to mention specifically, but, you know, sometimes camping trips, canoeing trips. We did a corn maze the other day, things like that. But we try to do, you know, spiritual, social, and service.
And three S's.
Yep. So
what's the website of the?
If you just Google Columbus Frasati Society, Columbus Frasati Society. Frasati is FRASSATI, two S's, one T. you know, you'll find us on our website and our Facebook page. That's the main means of communication is Facebook for young adults right now. Yep. So
wonderful. So consider that if you're listening and if you're a young adult, consider finding out more. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio by Father Jerome Zeiler. Let us now end in prayer, our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni Sancti.